This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The Lord has told us in the scriptures that we should make straight paths for our feet. He also says that we should return to the old or the ancient paths that we have forgotten. But what if the ancient paths that we have in our own lives are not the right paths at all? What if we have actually established pathways in our minds, in our hearts, in our brains, in our actions that actually have set us on a wrong path? How do we get back on the right path? I remember as a kid driving or riding a bicycle and across a field and finding myself stuck in some ruts that were established apparently when the pathway was muddy and the bike tiles actually created a rut. Well, once you get stuck in that rut, it's very difficult, kind of dangerous in a way, to try to get out of it. You have to choose the right moment and exactly the right way and have a bit of courage to be able to get out of that rut. Otherwise, you're going to collapse. Your bicycle is going to fall over. You're going to fall over and collapse. And a lot of people feel like that in their lives. They're stuck in a rut, some kind of rut, maybe a lot of ruts, and they don't know how to get out of them, even though they say, well, I want to. I remember when some of my grandchildren were living in our home for a while, and we were given some authority over their lives with their parents because my daughter worked for me. And so from time to time, I would give instruction to them when they were younger and say, I want you to do this or I don't want you to do that. And they'd say, well, I don't want to. Well, my answer was always then change your want to's. Well, how do you change your want to's? That's the question before us here today on Viewpoint. How do you change your want to's? You may want to, but how do you change your want to's? And how do we conform our lives to the expectation that God has for us? Well, Dr. Alan Weisenberger is joining us here today with a fascinating book called The Brain Change Program. It's not so much that you're going to get a brain implant. No, but they're sort of like that because there has to be a change in the pathways of our thinking. As the Bible says, as a man or woman thinks in her heart, so is he or she. It might just be creating some ruts in your life that are making it exceeding difficult for you even to live by faith. So today on Viewpoint, Dr. Alan Weisenberger calling us, joining us with the Brain Change Program. Doctor, it's good to have you on the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
And indeed, you live just south of San Francisco, and it seems to me that that's an area of the country that needs a whole lot of change pathways and brain change practitioners there, because things are pretty bad up there in San Francisco, aren't they?
Things can be pretty crazy, yes.
Well, craziness doesn't just happen, does it?
No, it's something that's been worked on, I think, for quite a while. And I was part of a church plant in Berkeley, so I was right in the thick of things.
Well, yeah, that would put you in the thick of things. You know, it's interesting, speaking of Berkeley, there were a series of, I think it was six professors there, at Berkeley, that wrote a book called Habits of the Heart back in, I think it was 1984, 1983. Very important book, very, very important book. And here was their conclusion. Their conclusion was that what happened in 1630 and for the next 40 years there in the with the Puritan plantation and a godly attorney by the name of John Winthrop, who had led it and written a sort of like a mini constitution called A Model of Christian Charity, that so set the pattern for this country that they concluded, these ungodly Berkeley professors concluded it had set the pathway, the most important pathway for the whole history of this country. Now, that's a pretty interesting thing coming out of Cal Berkeley, isn't it?
It is.
In fact, it goes right along with a lot of the things that I hear you discussed in your book, because it established a pathway. 170 years even before the United States Constitution was established. So really, our country, unbeknownst to so many who talk about it, did not really start in 1789 with the Constitution, but actually started in 1607 and 1630 and 1620 with the Pilgrims and so on. Those are the things that established the pathways for the country, didn't they?
It laid a momentum that just kind of built up over the years and laid a foundation that shaped how things would come.
Well, isn't that like our lives?
I would agree. That's what I explore with the brain. And your example of the tire tracks in the mud is an excellent example. I think I'll probably use that in talks in the future.
Well, I can't help but get away from it because I remember it so vividly. If you've ever been trapped in that situation, you have to remember it vividly. And I suspect that anybody who has ever been an addict or who is experiencing like 70% of professing American Christian men pornography, they also feel trapped in the rut, don't they?
Yeah, a lot of people are stuck in these ruts and they want to know how to get themselves out.
Well, the question is, how do we do that? Is it even possible? Or are our brains so fixed in their trajectory that there is no way for us ever to be delivered? A lot of people think that. They think, well, there's no hope for me. So-and-so is successful. They can get out of their addiction. They can get out of their pornography. They can get out of this. They can set a new path for their feet and so on. Well, look, if it wasn't possible for us to be delivered, if it wasn't possible for us to walk in victory, if it wasn't possible for us to get out of these ruts in our lives, why would God expect it? What do you think, Alan?
It is entirely possible. I mean, the scripture's been telling us that it is possible to change, and now the science is catching up with what the Bible has been telling us all along.
So your book actually is kind of using the science to help us to understand what our problem really is. Yes, it's a spiritual problem, but we don't quite understand ourselves and how God created us.
Yeah, it's also a biological problem, because what we do and what we think changes our brain.
Okay, now wait a minute. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, or as a people think in their hearts, so are they. Is that real true, scientifically?
That is true all the way down to our biology.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. So, in other words, the Bible is not just a bunch of theories. The Bible actually is rooted in the way God created us, and he knew all about it. And he didn't expect anything that wasn't possible. That gives us hope, I think. We'll be right back with Dr. Alan Weisenbacher after this. The Brain Change Program, $14 will put this little hardbound book in your hands. Fascinating. It's on our website, saveus.org.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. Our guest today, Dr. Alan Weisenbacher, is the managing editor of the academic journal Theology and Science. Theology and Science. A lot of people think that science and theology are inconsistent. They're not congruent at all. But if you were to get a copy of our guest's book here today, you would find that they're congruent completely, and that God, as the creator, knew what he was doing and didn't expect you and me to accomplish anything that was impossible, because he created us for it to be possible. Now, that to me is a message of hope, Alan.
Yes, very much. To know that no matter where you are or where you're at, your brain can change, and then your behavior and your thoughts.
Question. You have any kids?
I have two.
You do? And how about their brain pathways? How are they doing?
They're doing pretty good. I'm excited to see how they're growing into men of God. I have an 11-year-old and a 7-year-old.
Wow, 11-year-old and 7-year-old. So you've got a lot of ongoing experience to view right in front of your eyes as you raise up these young men. And I wonder to what extent they're going to be able to listen to their dad concerning developing these, understanding these, how their brains work, so that they can be more effective in following the Lord in their life.
Well, we try to read the Bible with them regularly, pray with them regularly, get them to church, to begin to train those pathways so that they do not depart from them as they get older.
I notice you use the word regularly, and you didn't use that casually. Regularly means creating a habit pattern, doesn't it?
Yes. You're creating, we want to create ruts that are good.
A lot of people would say, you know, that's not... There's no value in that. There's no value in taking your kids to church. There's no value in reading the Bible to your kids when they're real young. There's no value in teaching them to memorize the scripture. There's no value in that. You know, I just totally 100% disagree with that. I remember when our oldest daughter was born 52 years ago, by the time she was just 2 or 3 months old, after I got back from law practice each evening, and after supper, I would take her on a little walk across the street. It was sort of a park-like area. And I would share with her verbally the Word of God. I would speak to her about God as her Father and about Jesus. And I would share these things with her. A lot of people would think, that's just a waste of time. Was that a waste of time, Alan?
Not at all. Especially young children, their brains are growing and forming really fast. And by doing that, you're creating brain pathways for scripture. Even if they don't recall all the words exactly, you've created a pathway in their brain where it's even sinking down into their subconscious.
Isn't that what the Bible says? You learn line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little.
Exactly.
So, why is it that we don't think so highly about our young kids? Why is it we think that they have to come to the age of accountability before we begin to seriously train them, before we seriously begin to build the Word of God in their lives, and we wait so long thinking we're just loving them, when in fact we might not be loving them from God's viewpoint all that much, because we're not properly training them?
Something's going to be creating their brain pathways. And if it's not us with the words of the Lord, it's going to be the world.
So there are no neutral pathways?
No. I mean, there might be if it's a pathway on how you brush your teeth or something like that. But if you're talking character, there's no neutral pathway.
All right. So actually, in your book, you're actually saying that character is the net result of training your pathways, a parent training your pathways, you coordinating with what your parents are training to conform to the word, will, and the ways of the Lord.
Yes, and so then living in the ways of the Lord becomes something that becomes automatic, because that is the brain that you've created, and that's your actions just flow from that.
And you said there actually is a scientific word for that. I think you call it automaticity.
Yes.
Interesting. Explain that.
Well, the way I explain it to a lot of my clients is your brain has superhighways in it, and that's the things you do most often. And that's what your brain is going to want to do and take whenever you get thrown a curveball. And so if it's anger or alcohol, you've been doing that in your life, that's what your brain's going to take automatically.
In other words, that's sort of your default mode.
Yeah, your default mode will be what you've been training your brain to do.
Okay.
But if you train it to do something good, then that'll be your default mode. If you're addicted to pornography, the first thing that comes to your mind is not a sister in Christ, it's something else. But if you've trained your brain to have the highway of purity, you're going to think good thoughts automatically.
You know, I'll never forget, speaking of this area of pornography and so on, when I was about 12, 13 years of age, just about the time when young men are beginning to go through puberty and so on, I was riding my bicycle again across that infamous field that had all these ruts in it. And one day, as I rode the bicycle across, I saw all these papers scattered all over the ground. So I got off my bicycle to see what this was, and unbeknownst to my wondering eyes was a pornography magazine that was all torn apart all over the field. Well, I saw just enough of those images to make it very memorable. Now, I had a choice at that time. Am I going to continue to dwell on that? Am I going to pick up all those pieces and start putting them together and save them in a little cuddle and begin to look at them? And what if I had done that? What would be the net result of that compared to just seeing them haphazardly laying on the ground?
What would happen is the more you dwell on it, you have one, your nerve pathways for lust are pretty weak at that point. But once you dwell on it, then it starts to become stronger and bigger. And you take a small path and turn it into a highway. And now your brain's taking that route all the time. And they call that a stronghold.
Wow. So God really knew what he was talking about. He actually created us in such a way that we would either create holy and righteous and godly pathways in our lives, in our thinking, in our brains, or the contrary. Does that mean that you and I have absolute control then over this, that we don't need his help?
Oh, no, we need God's help. And the world is going to constantly throw things at us that it wants to create pathways for you. And so with God's help and self-discipline, you need to form it in accordance with the Bible.
You know, when I first started reading your book, I got to thinking, this sounds like it could be very mechanistic. It's just a matter of scientific conformity, and it could be very mechanistic, and we're just going to build these positive pathways into our minds. But the more I read, the more I thought about it, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me about the application of it, and I realized, you know what, this is exactly the way it is. This is exactly the way it is. This is the unity of science and our spiritual lives. And God created us this way. He didn't expect us to do anything other than the way he created us. And so his expectations were not unreasonable. And he's not trying to be mean-spirited. He wants us to experience the joy of righteousness and holiness and purity of heart, and straight pathways in our lives.
Yes. And it's so much better when you don't have to wrestle and struggle over doing good. If you've created the pathways, doing good can be something that is natural and something you enjoy.
Well, but the 70% of professing Christian men apparently enjoy pornography because they admit to going to it regularly. 30% of America's pastors admit to it. 34% of America's Christian women admit to seeking out female pornography. What do you make of that? What's causing
that? There was a place and time where someone started down that road. And instead of, when they saw those scattered pieces of paper, instead of leaving it, they picked it up, dwelled on it, and it began to become more easier and more automatic as that pathway in their brain got bigger and got stronger. And now they're really stuck because the brain wants to take that pathway, all the time because it's fast and easy.
It's fast and easy. Got a good reason to take the easy road out. Yeah, that's the physical, that's the fleshly man, isn't it?
Yes.
But God isn't calling us to live according to the flesh. He's calling us to live according to the Spirit. So even our choice to live according to the flesh is actually the broad superhighway of the brain that's the easy way out.
If that's what's been trained. And then if someone has these superhighways in the brain that are negative or sinful, it's going to take work to continually get off the highway and strengthen something new and let that superhighway weaken. It's
all
like
right.
a muscle.
So I'm
which one do you use most? I just say, which one do you use most? Get strong. And if you neglect it, it gets weak.
Okay. So this isn't really all that complex. It can sound complex when you start putting all kinds of scientific jargon on it. But in reality, it's not that complex at all. It's actually quite simple. Because we know that, for instance, with our muscles, you either use them or lose them. If you don't use them, they atrophy. Is it the same way with our brain, with the choices that we make with our brain?
Exactly. If we're practicing kindness, the kindness paths in your brain get stronger. If you exercise them, they get bigger. And if you don't, they weaken down and disappear.
Okay, so when the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, what he's saying in a spiritual way is what you're saying, and that is, look, you have a choice as to which mind or pathway you're going to allow to predominate in your life. Choose which way are you going to follow, and then follow it. Is that right?
Correct. If you're stuck with some bad pathways, though, it's going to take work, and it's going to take discipline.
Okay.
But you have to choose.
And the longer you've practiced and walked down a particular pathway, the more normative it is to you, and the harder it is to be relieved of that pathway and to walk differently, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So this isn't rocket science, then?
No, not at all.
So even the simplest person, even the person with 100 IQ, that's not a high IQ, with 100 IQ can understand this. It's not that much of a mystery. Why does it seem like so much of a mystery to us?
Could be because we're stuck in old patterns, doing the things we do not want to do. And sometimes it's talk about the science. There's a lot of jargon with it, but I'm not a jargon person. I want my former clients to be able to understand these concepts.
And the former clients, in many respects, were homeless addicts. That's who you were working with, right?
Yes. People who were very stuck in certain patterns.
So what do you say? I remember, in fact, just this very day, was driving up a main roadway here in Richmond, Virginia, and lo and behold, as I get into the turn lane, here is this gentleman, doesn't look like he's on his way out of life, but he's been walking up and down the island here, asking for money, asking for food, asking for this, claiming to be homeless for at least 3 months. And he keeps doing it every single day. Why do you think he's doing that?
Oh, I've had clients who've been doing that for a decade or more.
Why?
It's because that becomes the rut they get stuck in, and they don't know. They may want something different, but they don't know how to do it,
mm-hmm.
and their brain keeps taking them back to what they know.
All right. Well, a lot of people are like that. They're walking up and down the streets of life, and they're even going to church, but they don't seem to get it because they keep repeating the same old pathways. Let's talk more about what we need to do. The Brain Change Program, friends. $14 is going to put this book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries.
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Someone once said, when they passed out brains, I thought they said pains, and I told them I didn't want any. Well, our guest today, Dr. Alan Weisbacher, says, no, our brains are precious. They're created by God to accomplish his purposes, to enable us to do his will. But the problem is we just don't seem to get it. We just don't see the connections. And in this book, The Brain Change Program, Dr. Weisbacher is helping us to understand how these neurons in our brains, the connections that are made, are actually accomplishing God's purposes, and that we have to be participants in it. We have to make decisions for destiny, and that enables us to be transformed. You see, it's not just information, it's about transformation. If you read his book just for the information, you miss the point. The point is God wants us transformed to gain control of our destructive thoughts and behaviors, to redesign our prayer life, to guide ourselves into right thinking and to cultivate Christ-like character, a radical discovery journal. That's where he wants us to go. And so this is a very positive, this provides hope for us, doesn't it?
Yes, and no matter how old we are, to know that our brain is not a machine, it's not stuck, it's constantly changing and growing, even if you're over 80, a brain can change.
Well, that is so encouraging. I'm not there yet, but, you know, history marches on, and to realize that we still have, I think you call it brain plasticity, even after we become an octogenarian, that provides a lot of hope. And how much truth is there to that?
Well, it's a lot of hope. No matter how long you've been stuck, you can change. It may take a lot of work, may take some discipline, but change is possible for anyone.
Okay, you just used a nasty word. It's a word that people would prefer to wash right out of their mouth. Discipline. That sounds so negative to so many people. But if you don't discipline yourself to walk in a right path, to stay on a right path, you're necessarily going to divert to the wrong path, and the wrong path is going to lead you further and further off the right path. So why is this so mysterious?
For some people, it's difficult. We'd rather be microwaved into holiness.
You could get burned doing that, though.
Yeah. But the reality is it's a crock pot type of cooking where through regular daily discipline and making right choices, that's as we begin to gradually change.
I have a couple of questions for you. I'm full of questions today. It has been said that if you spend a lot of time around people that are primarily overweight, the likelihood of you becoming overweight is increased dramatically. The same phenomenon is revealed by those who tend to be around people who are divorced. The more you're around people that are divorced, the more likely by far you are to become divorced yourself. Why is that?
I would say you're picking up patterns from the people around you.
Uh-huh.
People are influenced.
So their patterns of life are shedding onto your life.
Yes. Even at a subconscious level. You may not be consciously noticing it,
uh-huh,
but if they're doing it, and they're doing it around you, it's starting to form your brain in that way.
So this is the reason why, then, the scripture says that bad associations corrupt good manners.
Yes, because you pick up other people's ways of doing things, and they become your pattern.
So in the book of Proverbs, we're repeatedly warned about bad associations and about young men associating with those that are out frolicking out in the streets and out at night with other women and keeping their eyes off of where they're supposed to be. And that's what this is talking about. It's saying, look, if you want to live a godly and holy life, then live one and avoid the broad way. Didn't Jesus say that the broad way is the one that leads to destruction and almost everybody goes in that way?
Yeah, they find the easy route, one that doesn't require as much discipline, and then it just carries them along, and next thing you know, you're at a destination you don't want.
All right, let's talk about this in terms of our nation, Alan. We got deep troubles here, don't you think? I mean, you're out there in California, just south of San Francisco. That's got to be rubbing off on you in Castro Valley there. I spent 30 years in California, Southern California, and I guess I just got out of there in the nick of times. But these kinds of things, the spirit of those places starts rubbing off on you, doesn't it?
Well, thankfully, I have a very healthy church.
Uh-huh.
And good people that sharpen me like iron sharpens iron.
Right.
So my I got a good core, people who I'd be proud to pattern my actions like theirs.
Uh-huh.
But there's still a lot of people in a lot of trouble. We're knee deep in homelessness and drug problems and a lot of people that need life
change. And poop all over the pathways there in the main streets of San Francisco.
I have actually had to shovel that sometimes when we open up the doors of our church. We need to get the entryway cleaned off to let people in. So, yes,
goodness.
I live that.
So we're really in the world of reality today, aren't we?
it's real.
Poop removal for Christ. Okay. Who would have ever thought it? You say that the brain has over 100 billion nerve cells, over 1 trillion support cells with over a quadrillion connections among them. That sounds like a super brain.
That's just a very large number. A lot of that is for making sure your heart runs, that you can stand upright.
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of things that also relate to what you think, what you do.
All right. So the brain, you say, creates new neurons, lays down new circuits, and forms new connections and branches that carry messages to and from other neurons. And at the same time, it removes unused connections and prunes dormant or unused neurons. Now, this word neurons, it's a nice-sounding scientific medical term, but what does it mean? What is a neuron, anyway?
A neuron is the communication pathways in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
They're the cells that make up these communication pathways.
Okay, so it's kind of like, if you look at your circulatory system, it's kind of like the little, you have arteries and you have veins and you have capillaries and so on. So the neurons are sort of like capillaries then.
Yes, and they carry information.
Okay, so the information, how do these neurons get the information?
Through your senses, what you see, smell, taste, hear.
Okay, so
they pick it up, they transport it.
I don't know about you, Alan, how old you are, but when I was a kid, we used to sing a song, watch your eyes, what they see, and watch your ears, what they hear, and watch your feet, where they go. Because there's a Father up above looking down in tender love. So watch your eyes, your ears, your feet, your hands, and so on. That was real, spiritual, but scientific at the same time, wasn't it?
Yes. Because what your eyes and ears are taking in is becoming who you are.
Wow. So every day we're in the process of becoming who we are tomorrow.
Correct.
So that requires that we be aware of what we're being exposed to today, or what we're purposely exposing ourselves to today, because it's going to determine our pathway for tomorrow.
Yes, and I'll even take it a step further. And this is something I mentioned more in the book, is we also have to be careful of what we imagine.
Okay, I agree with that. In fact, they say that sex is primarily a function of the brain. Is that true?
True. I mean, that's where everything, that's what processes all the information about it, the sensations, and all that goes with it.
All right. So what you expose yourself to, whether it's in the form of movies or ads or, you know, what you purpose to look at and view as you're walking down the street, you know, ain't she sweet just a walking down the street? You know, that kind of thing. If that's where you're focusing your eyeball, then you actually are in the process of setting your neurons in your brain in accordance with that and setting an ungodly pathway. Is that it?
Yes. And then if you entertain things in your imagination, and this is what surprised me when I was doing the science research, is your brain cannot tell the difference between doing something for real and just imagining it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
No wonder pornography is so powerful, because it engages your eyeballs, but also your imagination. No wonder Jesus said, you have heard it said of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you, you already did in your heart, in your mind, when you looked upon another woman. Now we begin to understand it, don't we?
This type of science is now catching up with the Bible. Like, if you're doing it in your mind, it's changing your mind in that direction. I had a client tell me that it was easy to cheat on his wife because he did it 1,000 times in his imagination already.
So the pathway he had already established was so profound that it was easier to cheat on his wife than to stay faithful. All right. Now, this brings up another question to me, and that is the difference between the natural man and the spiritual man. The Apostle Paul said, the natural man cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. But the spiritual man understands and comprehends all things. Now, how does that relate? When we get back from this break, how does that relate then to what you're telling us here about our brains? We'll be right back, friends. The Brain Change Program. You want to be delivered? Here it is.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
It appears that we have an entire nation that claims to be under God, but in practice is not under God at all, even in many of our church houses and in many of our own homes. Why? Apparently, over the past decades, we have actually created pathways that were contrary to the word, will, and the ways of the Lord in our own lives. We were willing to go that easier route, and now we find ourselves eating the very serious fruit thereof. That ain't good. We know we're on the wrong path, but we just can't quite admit it because we realize that to get on the right path might just take some serious refocus and effort. Well, that goes to the issue of the spiritual man versus the fleshly man. So how do we understand that, Dr. Weisenbacher? The spiritual man versus the natural man.
And the natural man has a hard time seeing the things of God because he's not trained to see it.
Uh-huh.
I'll use an example. They studied people with low self-esteem.
Right.
And these people actually cannot recognize compliments. It doesn't register them to them.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be beaten about the head with it before they would even notice, oh, there's a compliment here. And it's the same way with a natural person. I would say their brains are so trained with pathways for the natural world that they don't even see the things of God around them.
Which is the sin nature. It's called in the Bible the sin nature.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was just describing it with biological terms.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, science is catching up with the Bible. But those that have been, that live the Christian life, can begin to see the things of the Spirit and recognize it. Like, okay, you have someone you know that's always seeing the activity of God in their life, and it's like, why don't I see it in mine? Well, maybe you're just not, you haven't been trained to see it.
Isn't that interesting? So, look, you've heard the phrase, the grass is always greener, always seems greener on the other side of the fence, right? So why is it that the grass always seems greener? Well, the main reason is because we're not willing to do the things that the neighbor is doing that makes his grass greener. We're not willing to walk in those pathways. We want to do it our way, and we don't like our way that much, but we're just not willing to do the things that are necessary in order to have what we think or say we really want. That's a challenge for us.
I need to make sure I'm watering, fertilizing, and mowing, too.
Yeah, well, that's a tough thing to do in California when they restrict your water, isn't it?
True, but they're not restricting it now. We've had good rain.
Well, that's good. So take advantage of it.
Yes.
Take advantage of the good time and build the right pathways into your life.
Build it during the good season so that when there's a tough season, you have the construction in your brain that gets you through it successfully.
All right. And what you're not doing is dismissing the spiritual aspect of this, but actually reinforcing it, saying, this is how God created us. And if you're going to walk as a spiritually minded man or woman, it's up to you to choose the pathways that the brain that God gave you is going to follow.
That God has created the brain to learn and grow in a certain way. And when we do the things that we're supposed to, follow the Bible, live in the Spirit, then our very biology is changed.
Everybody wants to talk about AI. They say it's artificial intelligence. I call it alternative intelligence. And in fact, one of the great dangers of AI is replacing the very God-given brain and the requirements of it that we could live out his plan, his purposes, and we delegate it out to an artificial intelligence. That's how I see it. What do you think?
Well, I think artificial intelligence is only good as the programmers. The programmers are simple people.
There you go. So if you've programmed the wrong pathways, that's what you're going to get. Steroids, aren't you?
Yes.
All right. You talk about redesigning your prayer life. What do you mean by that?
In that, I'll take one step back and just because it relates. Willpower doesn't work. As an example, if you're constantly telling yourself, must not use alcohol, must not use alcohol, or must not use pornography,
right,
what are you thinking about? You're thinking about the alcohol and the pornography, and that makes the problem path bigger.
Very interesting. So you're focusing on the very thing that is your problem.
Yes, and it makes the problem stronger.
Aha. Uh-huh. So what should we do then?
Redirect. And that's why I say don't resist, replace.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And so instead of willpowering it, focus on the solution. So, and that goes for the, with the prayer life. And so instead of praying for the problem, Lord, help me stay away from alcohol, say, Lord, help me be sober. And so now you're focusing on the solution.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And your brain moves that way.
And the question then is, how do we focus on the solution? And God tells us, he says, is not my word life to those who find it, and health or medicine to all their flesh? Study to show yourself approved unto God. Meditate and delight in the word of God. Meditate and delight, meditate and delight, meditate and delight, meditate and delight. Isn't that what the psalmist repeated over and over in Psalm 119?
Yes, and instead of resisting, you can replace it with scripture memorization. So scripture comes to your mind instead of focusing on your problem.
All right. That's what God intended for us to do. I remember when I was studying for the California Bar, and I was having to drive back and forth from Pasadena, where I lived, to West L.A., where this bar review course was. And so I would get up early in the morning, and I would spend about an hour in the Word and memorize Scripture, and then I would write on 3x5 cards various passages of Scripture that the Holy Spirit put on my mind. And as I was driving, I would kind of take a quick glance at those, and I would meditate on those passages. I would repeat them. I would memorize them. I would pray them back to the Lord. And that's how I began to live by faith, even though I was a Christian for years before that. And it was, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept. And that actually is what led me to be able to do what I do today here on the air. So these things are not magic. It's something that we need to understand. God intends for us to be doers of the word and not just hearers. Isn't that right?
Yes. Yes. So a fun story. We'd take a bunch of our addictive clients to build orphanages in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And people would say, are you crazy? You're taking addicts to Mexico? But we did it for years, and we never had a problem.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because they were doing God's work. They were focusing on something good.
Mm-hmm.
And so their problem just faded to the background.
Very, very interesting. This matter of doing. I've highlighted so many things here in your book. You become what you do, not just what you think. You do what you think, but you become what you do. Isn't this the reason why God says, or actually Jesus' brother James says, be doers of the word and not just hearers, deceiving your own self? It seems pretty simple.
Yes. It's like you need to be doing the word so that, and when you do it, it changes your brain. And then you think, the idea would be create this loop where you're doing good, it's changing your brain, and then you're thinking good thoughts, so you're doing more good, and it's, they reinforce each other.
So what if somebody has a very hard time forgiving? Jesus said, if you won't forgive others their trespasses against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. And yet people say, well, I can't forgive. What they really are saying is, I won't forgive. But why is it they won't forgive? Is it because they've set patterns in their mind and their heart that are just totally resistant to forgiving? And if so, how do they move from that to forgive?
But you say it's spot on. It's something I call a brain knot. And so the more you stay angry at this person, that person and anger become knotted up in your brain. So you have
uh-huh.
a pathway that's become a knot of anger and this person. And even if you say you've forgiven, you can, like, why do I still feel angry? You still have that thing in your brain, that knot. And so for people really stuck there, it's like, okay, think of this as a process. It's going to be a process to get that knot untied. And it's going to involve, even though you may not want to, praying for your enemies. Pray for this person. And that begins to stick a different emotion into that knot. And so the anger loosens up and that new emotion comes in and starts to cut that thing in your brain.
Do you know that that's exactly what God told Job to do after all the trials he went through? It says at the end of the book of Job that when he prayed for his friends, God turned his own captivity. Isn't that interesting? When he prayed for his friends, God turned his own captivity, and things changed dramatically in his life. And that's what we want. We want change that we can really believe in. But we have to do it God's way. We have to be willing to do it God's way. And if we don't do it God's way, then we're doing it our own way, which means we're digging a rut of rebellion, stubbornness, pride, and that's the very heart of the sin nature, isn't it?
Yes. We need to do it God's way. And I'm finding it fascinating that God's way is written into our very biology. Like, wow, we're actually changing our own brain by doing things God's way.
It's utterly fascinating. And yet, while it seems so complex when we talk about neurons and brains and all of these connectivities, the simplicity of it is, look, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As we do, as we choose to do in our lives, it's like Joshua said, you know what? He said, as we're going to enter this promised land, but he said, look, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to choose. So choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What he did was actually make a declaration of the pathway that his mind and heart and his family were going to follow no matter what anybody else chose, right?
Right. And the encouraging thing is the more you choose the good, the easier it gets.
Exactly.
Just as someone starts to a route, say, toward pornography, like it began to get easier and easier the longer you went, same applies to doing good. The more you do it, the easier it gets.
So when the scripture says that we should flee fornication, we should flee temptation, what does that mean in terms of what we're talking about here? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, don't give it a chance to begin to form your brain in that direction.
Uh-huh. Don't allow it to dig the pathway, the rut in your life. Turn from it, and the more you focus on that which is holy and right and good and true, then that's what is going to develop in your life. Wow, that's exactly what Jesus said. That's what Paul said. That's what Peter said. That's what John said. Isn't this amazing? It's not as difficult as we have made it out to be. What's difficult is we have a war going on, the flesh against the spirit. Right, Alan?
Yes.
How do we win the war?
Bring up that word again, discipline. Discipline our mind, make the right choices, and it changes your brain so that the things of the spirit become easier.
So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds, casting down every imagination, our reasoning and thoughts, and everything that fights against the knowledge of God, bringing every one of our thoughts and behaviors into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There it is, friend. The Brain Change Program. $14 will put this little hardbound book in your hands. Change your life. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA, write to us, Save America Ministries, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. It's time to change.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.